Pray and believe God for utterance and direction this morning. Father, we love you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. We're just so thankful. Father, where would we be without you? Lord, I don't even want to think about where I'd be in my life. I know it would be a wreck, it'd be a mess if I'd even still be alive. I just thank you so much for all that you've given, all that you've done for us, Father. We love you this morning. We praise you. Thank you for direction, Father. Thank you for direction. Lord, I thank you for utterance from the Holy Ghost. And I pray, Lord, that I would open my mouth and speak your word boldly. And Father, I thank you that we hit bullseyes of everybody's heart here today. And Father, the goal is to bring people to a higher level. So we love you, we praise you, we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll go to John chapter 10 and verse 10. I was talking with some people at the picnic last week, and I had known this through prayer and things, and I'd never said anything to them. I wanted to, you know, just talk to them and hear their testimony. And they had said what was on my heart, but basically the gist of it was when they started obeying God, everything started to change. In their life, you know, financially, things with a home, different things like that, and just blessing all around, and just type of things that, you know, you exceeding abundant, above all that you could ask or think. And that's where this message comes from, because when they were talking to me, I said, that's why I'll bang the drum on following God and doing it God's way, because I know the blessing and the benefit that comes by doing that. And so that's where this message comes from. And today I think it'll help us maybe examine our own lives a little bit and see, well, okay, well, that could be... the Holy Ghost will tell you, is what I'm trying to say, is when I'm preaching, the Holy Ghost will tell you and shed some light. You know, the Bible says the entrance of your word gives light. Sometimes when we're not doing things the right way or we don't know what's going on. And I know because I'll talk to people that will say things to me about situations they're going through. They'll say, well, it'll get better. And they're using their confession and they're using their faith. But truly, I know in my heart that some of those situations won't get better until there's a change. That their confession can't make up for some things is what I'm trying to say. And so that's where this message comes from. And so, but also I think it'll help us to see maybe even the body of Christ as a whole around us and maybe friends and family members that are close by, why certain things are the way that they are. Because you can't violate the principles of God and expect to be blessed. You just can't do it. So this will help us today. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says this. It says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." So that's the devil's resume. That's who the thief is. And I love Jesus. He said, "I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." I love that right there in that verse. And I wonder if a lot of churches and religious people, if they've left this verse out of their Bible or if they just can't read. Because Jesus clearly distinguishes himself from the enemy. He says, "This guy does this, but I've come to do something different." So when they're stealing, killing, you know, stealing of health, stealing of finances, not just going into a store and stealing something. A lot of people have things robbed from them all the time. If there's killing and destruction, Jesus said, "I'm not part of that." And Jesus only did what God did. And he said that. He said, "I do, I say, I carry out the will of my Father." And so he's saying here that there's that and then there's me. And he said, "I want you to know what I've come to give you is life and life more abundantly." Well, the Bible was not written in English. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in Greek. And sometimes the Greek language and the Hebrew language is way more sophisticated or deeper than the English language. And you look up some of these words to find out what it means, because you read life there, and that sounds good that Jesus came to give us life. But in the Greek, that word means zoe, or the God kind of life, Z-O-E. He said, "I've come to give you the God kind of life and to have it more abundantly." One translation said, well, the God kind of life would be life like God has it, right? That's what that is. Jesus said, I've come to give you life as God enjoys it. Well, that shouldn't come as a surprise to us, because here God saves us into His family. We become His children. How terrible would it be? Now, just so you know, you are equal with Jesus. The Bible calls you a co-heir, a joint heir with Jesus, seated together with Him. You are, in God's eyes, you're with Jesus. And here God takes Jesus back to heaven. What kind of a dad would we have if He left us down here to suffer and struggle? Yet we're equal. That would be playing favorites with His children. See, I'm just as much a son as Jesus is. You're just as much a child as Jesus is. So God says, okay, I'm taking Jesus back with me. He's going to be the mediator between me and man. I'm going to leave my body down here because there's people that need to know about me. But I'm not going to leave you down there to struggle and to suffer and to wander and to be miserable. No, I'm going to give you life and life more abundantly. I'm going to give you the Zoe, the God kind of life. Well, what kind of a life is God enjoying? It's not one of stress. It's not one of anxiety. It's not one of worry. It's not one of fear. It's not one of depression. It's not one of bondages. It's not one of physical things, problems. It's not one of financial problems. It's perfection, right? It's blessing. Now, that doesn't mean we're void of tests and trials, but it does mean the Zoe kind of life, because Jesus was the God kind of life on the earth, that when a test or trial comes, He always had the victory. It doesn't mean we're void of those. It means we always win, though. That's what it does mean. Praise God. And so He said, I've come to give you the God kind of life. And that shouldn't surprise us, because He prayed in Matthew 6. He said, Thy will be done, right, on the earth as it is in heaven. Well, if Jesus prayed that, He must have been praying in the will of God. He's saying, I want what's going on in heaven to happen on the earth. Well, of course He would. We're His children. The will of God on the earth. But, and again, this, you know, maybe there's areas in your life you say, I'm not living the God kind of life. Physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. There's areas that I can say, and it'd be good right now to examine those things. Not beat yourself up and not get any down about, but say, okay, here's my help. Praise God. And there might be areas where you're not living like the God kind of life. Or you might know people in the body of Christ, in the church, family members, that are living far below. Their life is marked by trial and just constant chaos is what I want to say. Constantly, all the time. It's one thing after the other. And no victory ever. And stress and worry, anxiety, physical sickness dominates them all the time. Financial things, stress. I mean, you might know it. Well, this is going to cue us in on some things here today. But it's important that we make sure God don't get the blame. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? So let's find out. If the Zoe kind of life is available, then I want to live it. I want to experience that. And, you know, what's interesting about the Bible is there's a lot of differences in the Old Testament and the New Testament, but there's also a lot of similarities. What do I mean by that? In the Old Testament, healing was available. Yeah. It was. Healing was available in the Old Testament. He was Jehovah Rapha. He was the healer. He said, I am the God who heals you. That's why I'm amazed at people that will fight you about whether healing is available in the New Testament. We have it better than they had it. If healing was offered to them, it's sure offered to us. I mean, when did Jesus change? Here, this is, people think we have it worse when we're children now. Healing was provided in the Old Testament. When Jesus was on the earth, He healed. So now Jesus leaves, and so now we're just stuck with no healing. Come on. That would mean we'd have it lesser. They had it. They had it when Jesus wasn't here. They had it when Jesus was here. And now that Jesus has gone up, we're just left here to suffer. That is garbage. Prosperity was available in the Old Testament. It was. Financial blessing. Divine protection was available in the Old Testament. Well, all those things are available to us. We have a new covenant established upon better promises. If they got it, we can have it and more. The main difference where we are set apart from the people of the Old Testament, besides all the sacrifices and things like that, is never before in the history of mankind, until Jesus died on the cross, did God take up residency inside a person. That's what separates us from every single religion on the face of planet Earth, is God lives on the inside of us. God Almighty, the life and nature of God, dwells on the inside of your body. That's what sets us apart from the Old Testament. Because there's a lot of similarities, and you think, well, they had healing, they had provision, and they had protection. What's really different? Well, the difference is they didn't have God on the inside of them. That sets us way apart. Praise God. Hallelujah. But this is what I want you to see, and I want to bring up this morning, is that they had healing. They had prosperity. They had protection. They had the blessings. They have what we have today. But they were conditional in the Old Testament. It was always based on meeting criteria and certain conditions. Healing did not just come to everybody. Prosperity did not just come to be a Jewish person. Just the same way, it doesn't just come to being a child of God. Freedom from fear, depression, anxiety, and worry is not automatic in the Old Testament. It was conditional. Yeah. All these blessings that I mentioned that were available to them were all based on conditions. And it's the same exact thing for us now. Healing, prosperity, peace of mind, divine protection, favor, all available to us, but they're based on meeting certain criteria and meeting the conditions. Just being a child of God is not enough. We know, because you can look around at the body of Christ and see people who love Jesus, who are on their way to heaven, who are as born again as you ever will be, yet they're struggling. Life is hard. Life is tough. Life is a constant battle all the time, wearing them out. Well, they're the same children of God. So either God's playing favorites, or there's something that's not right. See what I mean? Praise God. Either God has laid it out for us, or He hasn't, praise God. They were conditional in the Old Testament. They're conditional now. You know, God has laid out all these blessings for people, right? And I'm going to hold off there for a second and get back to that. Let's go to Isaiah 1 and verse 19 real quick. I want to show you in the Old Testament how it was conditional. But the conditions were good. Like, it was worth meeting the conditions. It was worth meeting the criteria. Isaiah 1 and verse 19. So this is the Old Testament. Now, the thing about it is, before you just blow these off and say, well, these aren't for me because I'm not Old Testament, remember, I just told you that the New Testament believer has to meet the criteria and the conditions too. Yeah. So when I'm saying this, it's not just for the Old Testament. This applies to you as well. Amen. Isaiah 1 and verse 19. It says, right off the bat, the word is if. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. These are the words of God. If. That means there's something hanging in the balance. That it can go either way. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Well, it's not just talking about dinner time. It's talking about what good things can you consume that the land has to offer. Like what? What does the land have to offer? Vehicles that we drive, right? Clothes that we wear, jobs that we get, houses that we live in, the things we need for life. That's the good of the land, the natural. See, don't get religious and think God's not interested in the natural. He's interested in the natural. He loaded up the Garden of Eden, made it the best playground ever for His man, and then dropped him in the center and said, here it is. You can have it all except for one tree. Yeah. He's about you being blessed. He gave Adam and Eve way more than they could ever consume. He's the overflow God. My cup runneth over, right? It doesn't just get halfway, it runs over. That's the way God is. But He says, if you be willing and obedient. So there's a condition. So I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it right out back. We might as well just hit a home run right from the get-go. Most people in the body of Christ do not qualify to be partakers of the good of the land because they're not willing or obedient. They expect it, and they wonder, and they hear pastor preaching on it, but they don't obey God. They don't do what the Word says to do. They don't do what God has said in their heart. And then they look around, they hear pastor preach about the Zoe kind of life, and God wants you to have this, and God wants you to be blessed here. You got to meet the conditions and the criteria, folks. Yeah, absolutely. If you be willing and obedient. And I'm going to help you with that obedience part. Now go to Deuteronomy 28. Talking about the conditions of the Old Testament. these messages like this will tell you why the family churches are not thousands of people full. Because most people don't like to hear these messages. This church, and I believe the faithful people want to hear them because it'll help us. But most people like to hear tickle your ear, no responsibility type Christian preaching, because those are the churches that are exploding at a phenomenal rate. They are. I talk to guest ministers that go around the country and they'll say, in this city, a church sprung up in 2 weeks, 250 people. Never mentioned anything about holiness, never mentioned anything about the Holy Ghost, never mentioned anything about giving, never mentioned anything about sin and living right. Right? It's all, you know, this grace doctrine that's been blown out of proportion. That, and there's grace for the body of Christ when we miss it. But I'll tell you where grace ends. When you say, oh, I got grace, Jesus already paid for it, so I'm going to live however I want. That's dangerous. That's a doctrine of the devil. But that's nice for people to hear that want to keep living the way they're living. And when people don't ever have to hear about doing anything with your money. I can't tell you the amount of people. This church should be already having two services packed if it wasn't just for the tithing message. That's not to mention the Holy Ghost. That's not to mention topics that we've talked about with social issues that people have left the church because we've taught the Word on it. Just the tithing message alone has chased away at least 30 people that were faithful for over a year here. Just tithing. That's not me just throwing numbers out there. That is true statistics of this church. Well, you put 30 more people in this place and we are about empty out of seats here. That's just tithing. That's not talking about the other words. And so, Pastor Tim, I think they did, since they got in the new building, the people that have come and gone, it's in the thousands. Yet they have a church of 200 to 300 people. Why? Because not everybody wants this kind of a message. But I'll tell you what, I want to know that if it takes me to get the good of the land, that I've got to do something, I want to know it. I don't want to be left in the dark. I mean, sometimes we think ignorance is bliss. No, it's not. You know, the idea when you get a bill in the mail, you just want to kind of throw it off to the side and not have to deal with it. Well, you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to know what's in there, what to believe God for and get what that money is. I want to know these things. In Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1, talking about the conditions of blessing, it says, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command you this day, and the Lord thy God will set you on high above all nations of the earth, verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if, you see that if there? Yeah. If you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, it goes on down through verse 14 and 15 to tell you all those blessings that are available to the Old Testament saints. They were blessings of protection, provision, and health. Praise God. I mean, that's pretty much gets it all, right? It was blessings on their family, favor, and different things like that. And God said, it's all available to you. It's all available to you if you'll obey me. Go to Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, just a couple pages over. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. So God just lays out all the blessings, and then from verse 16 down to verse 60 some, He says, and this is what will happen if you don't obey me. It's your choice. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, wake the heck up and choose life. Amen. That's what mine says anyways, when I read it. That both you and your seed may live. Just to breathe and to have a heartbeat does not qualify as living in my book. There's a lot of walking dead out there. I want to live to my fullest potential. I want to get all that Jesus has prepared for me. I want to get all that's available to me. If He died for it, it's worth it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says this, He says, you choose what you want. Basically, God says, come on over to my house. I'm going to have a feast for you. And I'm going to lay it out for you. You decide where you want to eat. It'd be the same thing if we had you for the church picnic and we had it catered, you know, and we have all chicken barbecue and ribs and, oh, I better stop talking about that. I'm going to be hungry. I know I am. Nothing. What's better than a chicken barbecue? Woo! Not much. Maybe a pizza. Pizza's maybe the one food I could probably eat every day, although I take that back. Every single day for breakfast I have an English muffin two eggs and three pieces of bacon every day. I love that breakfast. I don't get sick of it. She can't understand it. So there's some things that might be better at chicken barbecue, but not much. Let's say you had that at there, it's catered, and it's all laid out. And then we said, but also, just in case, I don't know why, over at this table, this is the chicken that got really burnt. I mean, it's just charred. And there's also some chicken over there that didn't get fully cooked, so it's pink, and you'll probably get salmonella. And there's some, you know, some apple pie over here that hasn't even really been cooked, and there's all this over here. And I say, okay, pull up a chair to whatever table you want to go to. Now, if you are foolish enough to go to that table and eat the salmonella chicken, that is not the chef's fault. That is not the cook or the caterer's fault who laid that out. If they clearly told you before, this is your options. What do you want to eat? What do you want for your life? And God is saying to the Old Testament saints, I'm laying out for you blessings and cursings. All you have to do is follow my ways. Do it my way. Praise God. So we see that's the way it is in the Old Testament. Well, what about the New Testament? Now go with me to John 16. I'm sorry, go with me to Romans 6:23 real quick. Romans 6:23. We'll start there. Seems better to go there first. Romans 6:23. So they had conditions, didn't they?
Yes.
And if the conditions weren't met, don't be complaining and blaming God.
Right.
Come on.
My favorite thing is when, I don't know, guys, if you also have this problem. Do you ever have problems with listening at times? Hey, ladies, no elbows. I just, sometimes, she'll say things to me, she'll say them four or five times, it's just I need to get better at it, but, you know, there's times that maybe something will happen that I'll do, and I'll get all flustered and mad about it, you know? How do I say it? To get upset and mad when you don't do what God says and get mad at Him and get mad at the world, that's wrong. Because God told you how to have it different. And she tells me stuff before, maybe I'll do something different and it will cause the not to be a blessing, and I'll go to her mad. Well, why don't you tell me she did? Five times. Five times. It's not my fault. It's yours. It's true. Yeah. It's not her fault. She told, she laid it out, whatever it is. We'll just leave it at that. We don't want to tell on me too much. Jeez. Supposed to love your pastor. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages, now God's laying this right out, New Testament.
Sure.
The wages of sin is death. Well, I guess that kind of just blows the grace doctrine right out of the water. Because that new grace doctrine, the devil's telling people, live however you want, it's already been paid for. Yet the Bible says if you do that, you're going to get some payment. And it's going to be death in your life. Death in your finances. Death in your body. Death in your mind. And destruction. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There it is, conditions. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7. I know in the last couple of weeks we've been putting a lot of responsibility on people. We showed you last week, if you love the church, how your actions would be different. I think God's just trying to call us up to a higher level. I really believe that. I have a faith message is stirring in my spirit, but I just couldn't get that out today. It seemed like the Holy Ghost wouldn't let me do it. Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. Now in context, it is talking about finances, but when he uses the word whatsoever, it goes outside the boundaries of finances. Whatsoever a man sows, that will what he'll reap. And he says, for he that sows to his flesh, outside the word, outside of the things of God, shall of the flesh reap corruption or death. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. God's telling you, it's your choice.
Yeah.
Just like he told the old it's your choice.
Sure.
How you do things, how you live life, it's your choice. Now, Matthew 7 and verse 24. Now, maybe you're wondering, well then, what does this look like? Like, really explain this. So we can understand it in a better way. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Let me just say this. I mean this for right now, and I mean this spiritually. Wake up, church.
Yeah.
You need to hear this. Your life depends on it.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I've come to give you heaven on earth.
Yeah.
But notice he said, I've come to give you heaven on earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're going to get heaven on earth, it's going to have to come through him.
Yeah.
Well, didn't he say over in John 16 and verse 33, he said, in the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, he said, in me you'll have peace.
Amen.
In him, avenue, Jesus, his way, his plans, his purposes. It do you good to stop doing it your way.
Amen.
In all areas of life. Absolutely, it would do you good.
God.
So Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, what does it mean? He said, I'll give you abundant life. In me you'll have peace. Well, look it. Jesus said in verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, he said, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew. They still had trials. And it beat upon that house, but it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. So he's saying, if you'll do it my way, what's doing it his way? His word. Ladies and gentlemen, all we're talking about today is obeying God's word. Seems simple, I know, but yet why does it seem so profound for most people? God said, if you'll do this in the Old Testament, if you'll hearken unto my voice and my commands, what was he saying? If you follow my word, you'll be fine.
Amen.
He's saying the same thing in the New Testament to us. If we'll follow his word, we'll be okay. Praise God. And let me just say it this way. It's not enough to pick and choose which part you want to follow.
Yeah.
You know how I know that? Because I've had people that have come up to me for healing before and the Lord said, don't lay hands on them, they don't tithe. Don't lay hands on them, they have unforgiveness in their heart. See, when you choose to not do the word in one area, it affects all areas.
Yeah,
because sometimes we think, well, I'm going to disobey in finances, but my love walk will be okay. Or I'll make sure to come to church faithfully, but you know, I'm not going to be a giver. You're in disobedience.
Yeah.
If God has said to do something and you don't, all you're doing is opening the door to the wages of sin.
Sure.
That's all you're doing. And you might think, well, that will just affect me in that area. No, you don't know what sin can get into and affect.
Right.
I mean, I was amazed at some of the times where I'll go to pray for people and I'll have to change how I pray. Because if God says don't pray for them for their healing, and I go ahead and pray for their healing, and they don't get their healing, it makes God look bad.
Right.
When he already told me they're not going to get that until they make some adjustments. So we want to stay within the confines of the word. And Jesus said, if you'll do the word, that when the storms come, you'll stand. He says in verse 26, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. So now we get the Bible's definition of a fool. Someone that hears the word and doesn't do it. You're foolish. You know what a synonym of foolish is? It's the word stupid.
Yeah.
Caleb looks at Courtney because that's not a word we say a lot around our house, but that's just the truth.
Right.
A synonym of foolish is the word stupid. It's stupid to not do the word of God.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest thing you can do is to not do the word of God.
Yeah.
Because Jesus said those that do it are fools. They build their house on the sand. Any builder knows you don't build your house on the sand. You build it on a foundation. You build it on a rock, a slab of stone, a slab of concrete, and then you build up. The most ornate and wonderful mansion built on the sand, as beautiful as the bathrooms might be, and whatever, the living room and the great room or whatever might be, if it's built on the sand, it's vulnerable. But built on the rock, oh, it's not vulnerable anymore. And he says, the rain will descend, the floods will come, the winds will blow and beat upon the house, and it'll fall. And great will be the fall of it. And so before we go even further here today, I want to ask you a question. You answer this. I don't know the answer. What areas are you not doing God's word that you know you're not doing God's word? Maybe it's your love walk. Maybe you just need to duct tape your mouth. Because you can't stop from talking bad about other people. You can't stop the gossip. You can't stop the cussing. And you can't stop the talking wrong and being bad towards people. Maybe you're in unforgiveness and you're bitter. Maybe that's your area that you're not doing the word on. You're dumb if you keep doing it. Pastor just called me dumb. No, I called you dumb if you keep doing it. Yes, you are foolish if you keep doing it. I would be the same way. Maybe it's in your giving. You've seen it in the Word. The Bible calls you to be a giver, but you just keep refusing to do the Word. That's stupid. It's foolish. You're hurting your own self. Maybe it's in how you view church and value this visitation from God that He's given you and how you get your mail from Him. Maybe it's optional to you. Maybe it's just, I mean, today it's not. You're all here preaching to the choir, but if it's optional and you just kind of fit it in, you're in disobedience. We ought to value this place and what God has for us. We talked about that last week. Praise the Lord. Maybe it's areas of sin that you're just refusing to work towards. Now, let me just say this. We all have areas, don't we? We all have stuff. And the person that says they don't, that's their stuff. They're a liar. They just told us what their stuff is. Right? Everybody has issues that we could do better on. And God knows that. And God works with us. Thank God for patience. But to just say, you know what, that's just my thing that I have. Everyone else has stuff. And just to leave it there, you're going to continually be in a cycle of reaping what that sin will bring you. So we work towards it. Lord, I'm having trouble. I'm struggling in this area. Help me. What can I do? Pastor, what can I do? Holy Spirit, help me. So we work towards getting that better, right? Praise God. So I don't know what it is for you. But think about Abraham. We're not far from being done now. Abraham was the guy God used to cut covenant with. Abraham is one of the top players in the Bible. The lineage of Jesus Christ started with that man. Abraham, God cut covenant with, and all the way through David down to Joseph was Jesus Christ's lineage in the history that God said, I'm going to have covenant through this man. Abraham was used mightily, wasn't he? Yes. And we find in Genesis chapter 12, when Abraham comes on the scene, he was Abram at that time, God said to do something, didn't he? Yes. And he said, if you'll do it, you'll be blessed. He told him to get away and to go to a land where I'll show you. So Abraham had a choice. Do the word when it's not and let me tell you, sometimes it's not convenient to do the word. It's not always convenient to show up to church. It's not always convenient to tithe. It's not convenient to walk in love towards people at times. But it's still the word of God. God didn't say to Abraham, you know, Abraham, let's make sure this is cushy and convenient before. It was not convenient to get to a land that he had never known, to get away from everything that he known, and God didn't even show him where to go. He just said, go. That's not convenient. I'm not here to lie to you and say that the word is always the most convenient, but it's the best thing for you. It's the best thing for you. It's not always convenient to do it, but in the way it turns out, it's always. I'm amazed at the people that I know that are downright sold out to God. All the different testimonies and blessings that they keep telling me about. I mean, they are sold out 100% to Him, and just things just keep happening. Like no surprise. No surprise. Are you willing? Are you obedient? Let's do this. Praise God. So he obeyed. But now think about this. Go to Genesis 22, verse 15. And then I'm going to share something that will amaze you. I think it will anyways. It amazed me when it happened. Genesis 22 and verse 15. Talking about a man. Now remember, the Bible declares this about Abraham. Now you tell me if you'd want this to be the mark of your life. And it might be in different things, but this is just the culture back then and what he had. The Bible said Abraham was a man that was very rich. Anybody want to sign up for that? I will. If you don't want, I'll take yours. Very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. He had stuff. He had land. He was materially big on this earth. And God was okay with it. So that's the man I want. We'll keep blessing him. And he kept just getting blessed and blessed and blessed. And isn't it amazing? And someday I need to preach a series or just a sermon on the difference between Lot and Abraham. Lot started out with Abraham obeying God. And the Bible said that they had so much stuff, because the blessing of the Lord will make you rich, that they could not fit on the land that they were on. But isn't it interesting? Abraham kept going God's way. The blessings kept coming. Lot decided to go a different way than God's way, and hell on earth came to his life. Hell on earth came to his life because of his decisions. Genesis 22, verse 15. This is the story of when Abraham was told to go sacrifice his son up on the mountain. Of course, God's intention never was to kill Isaac. But in verse 15, we know that Abraham did it. He's about to bring the stake down through his son. And an angel of the Lord appeared and said, don't kill him. He said, you know, there's a ram over in the thicket. Offer that as a sacrifice. But this is what I want to bring it out in verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. The first time is when he stopped him from killing his son. And said, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord. For because you have done this thing. Well, what thing did Abraham really do if we break it down? All he did was obey what God said. Because you have obeyed my word, Abraham. Because when I tell you to tithe, you tithe. Because when I tell you to go to church, you go to church. Because when I tell you to walk in love, you walk in love. Because when I tell you to go talk to this person, to go witness to this person. One of the reasons, and I don't say this to make you feel bad. I'm trying to tell you one of the reasons that this church in Olean has not exploded is because people are not out telling people about this place. How do you think Jamestown exploded because people got fired up about that place and went and, I mean, they be with something. You got to come to my church. You got to hear the word. We need, the body of Christ needs to be a mouthpiece. Praise God. And that's just one thing the Lord has been dealing with me about. That we need to pick that up. I didn't say this last night, but it came up in my spirit now, so I need to obey that. If you're not excited about being here to the point where you'll tell other people, my question is, why the heck are you here? Like, why waste your time doing something that's not that valuable to you? Like, why you should be telling your coworkers, you should be telling your family and friends about it. I mean, you're here, I would think, because something good is happening to you. Like, you're seeing something going on here. Well, don't you want that for everyone?
Yeah.
Don't you want that for the people you love and things? So let's pick it up, church. Let's pick it up in that area. The pastor's job is not to grow this place. It's not my job. Sheep produce sheep. Shepherds do not produce sheep. Shepherds shepherd the sheep. But sheep produce other sheep. Yeah, we need people out there doing it, praise God. Hallelujah. So let's be obedient in that. So he said to Abraham, because you've done this thing, and that's why I said, because you tithed, because you did the word, because you walked in love, because you went and talked to that person, because you gave that person an offering when God spoke in your heart, because the Lord tapped you on the shoulder, and when Pastor mentioned cleaning, something inside you, because you obeyed what God said, because you offered your, whatever God is speaking to you from His word or in your heart, whatever that is, you want to be obedient to that. He says, because you've done that, Abraham, and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. Notice God said there's a blessing, but it doesn't come unless obedience is walked through first.
Amen.
Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Now notice this. And your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Now, what's my seed? My seed is Caleb and Abby. If someone said to me, we're going to give them the ability that anybody that comes against them, they're going to possess the gate of his enemy. Basically, they're going to be overcomers. I said, I'll sign up for that any day of the week. What parent would not want to see their children? And the Bible says that the blessing of obeying him not only affected him, it affected those around him. It affected those in his circle and generations. Now, this is what I want to mention to you. I personally have learned as much, if not more, about how true God's word is in times when I've been disobedient. I have seen the wages of sin is death is the truth. In finances, in physical things, in my mind. I'll tell you what, being in disobedience is an awful feeling, not only because of the way it feels on the inside, it's yucky all the time, just weighs on you and hangs over you, but because of what it brings you. You don't walk into those blessings that God has for you. And I've learned, I mean, I'm thinking of a time, this was years ago, and I'm not saying I haven't sinned or missed it since then, but I'm thinking of this specific time, and I remember out loud saying to God, my Lord, your word is true. It is true when you don't do the word of God and you know better, it doesn't bring you anything good. I've learned that. But I've also learned this. Let me just say it this way. There was a time that your pastor, now you might say, I don't know if I can have him be my pastor anymore after he says this. Well, I would walk in and see my pastor. This was in 2004. And I would see Reverend Randy or Pastor Tim Stallman. And I'd hear their voice or see their face. And I got so offended and so mad, I'd turn around and walk out of church. Your pastor did that for probably about, I'd say on and off for about 2 months. And the change in my life in that amount of time. And I remember after it was done, see, My dad had had a stroke back then, and I got offended at people for, I thought they should treat me a certain way, and, you know, setting false expectations for people. Don't do that to people.
Yeah.
You're just going to end up letting yourself down, because people will fail you.
Yeah.
And I remember, we're almost done here, and I remember my life went downhill physically and financially. I mean, it was so noticeable. I've had people tell me that those people I have stopped coming to church summertimes in the past, stopped tithing, and they came to me and they said, we will never, ever do that again because of what happened, and it happens again.
Yeah.
Tell me that. Yeah, you think people will learn their lesson. Happens all the time. What I'm trying to say is it's noticeable.
Yeah.
It's noticeable. When people are in disobedience, it's noticeable.
Yeah.
I noticed it quickly. I said, man, this offense and not going to church sure ain't helping me, and it ain't lined up with what God said to do. So I adjusted real quick, and things changed. It's amazing. But now get this. This is what amazed me, and I think it'll amaze you too. I have had God. Now, I'm very compassionate. In fact, I probably to the point where if people wanted to take advantage of me, they probably could, because I just want to see people helped. I've had God, and if I know a family's struggling or people are going through stuff, especially financially, you know, that's the number one thing people do struggle with. I want to do whatever I can, whether it be to help from the church or whether it be to help personally. Most of the times, it's both. And I want to be a blessing. And I've had God tell me, don't you dare bless that person. I've had the Holy Ghost tell me, don't you dare. And I said, wow, explain more on that, Holy Ghost. Why are you trying to trump what the Word says they have coming to them? Why are you trying to go above and beyond what they have coming to them through their consistent months and years of disobedience and not doing it God's way? So I was trying to put the Band-Aid on there. And it's not wrong to bless people and help people, but there's a difference that when people fall onto hard times and have attacks from the enemy, there's a difference between that and the wages of sin and disobedience constantly and not doing it right and reaping. There's a difference there. You can't avoid that happening. That's going to happen because of the Word, right? What the Word says. So much so that there was one time, don't try to think of who it is because it wasn't in this church. Family fell on hard times. And man, my heart broke. I mean, there's kids involved. And I literally went to the grocery store and bought hundreds of dollars of groceries. Now, when I went to do that, my heart, something in my heart wasn't right. And I'm there, I couldn't figure it out. I knew I wasn't supposed to be doing it, but I didn't know why. And I bought all the groceries, went through with it. Came home, this was late at night, probably around midnight, I went to Wegmans, just loaded up, I mean, carts full. And the next morning she woke up, and I told her I was doing it the night before, and I said, the Holy Spirit is dealing with me. I am not allowed to give this family this blessing. And she said, the Holy Ghost has been dealing with me at nighttime and in the morning. We can't do this. If we do it, we will be in disobedience. And it amazed me. And the reason was, it wasn't that they just fell on hard times. It wasn't that just a circumstance or situation arose. It wasn't that the devil was on attack mode. It was years of inconsistency, of being told over and over again to tithe, being told over and over again, be in church to hear your visitation from God, and just putting your nose up at it and just letting it go by. And so what happened was, the Word is just as true when you obey as it is when you disobey. And God said, don't do it. That blessing is now for somebody else. And I thought, holy cow, I wonder how many times I've missed out on a blessing that God had to give it to somebody else. Because I know that I know that I know. He told me, don't you dare do it. And I didn't. And I tell you what, when I made up my mind to not do it, the greatest amount of peace came into my heart, even though I knew, boy, they could use that. And you might think to yourself, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is that God told me no.
Yeah. Right.
That's the big deal. If God tells me no, I'm not doing it. And he said, that blessing's for someone else. I said, okay, Lord. Those other people will get it then. And it's amazing that the other people that got it didn't need it. We're doing fine. See, they that have more will be given, the Bible says. The faithful will abound in blessings. It'll just keep piling up. They that have less and keep doing disobedience, it'll keep getting less and less and less and less. Yeah, I have people that tell me, I say, how's that situation going? Oh, it'll get better. And I want to say to them, no, it won't. Not till you change. Don't mount God. Don't try to tell me that you're special, more special than what the Word says. We're talking about obeying God's Word. In the written Word and in your heart. And when I had already bought that and he had dealt with her and she confirmed it, it amazed me. Because I immediately turned the thing on myself and thought, how many times have I missed out? And God had to give it to somebody else and because I'm just getting what's coming to me. It's your choice. Stop blaming your circumstances, your upbringing, your past. You are a born-again new believer. You have new DNA on the inside of you. The old's passed away, the new has come. Stop it. Stop making excuses. And I'm not saying things weren't tough. I'm not saying different things. But you need to renew your mind that you're brand new. How mom and dad treat you has no bearing on what you do from now. You have a new dad. Yes. You have a new DNA, a new righteousness. A new last name. Well, I grew up in a poor family. Well, you're not in a poor one anymore. Glory to God. All these things the devil tries to use. Take ownership. Now, I'm not saying the devil doesn't attack and come at you. But I'm saying we have what it takes to get over it. And if we'll obey God, choose the right way, people. Choose the right way. Hallelujah. And last but not least, go to John chapter 2. And we'll close with that. Hallelujah. Again, a perfect example. Why we're not thousands of people big. But I'll tell you what. I appreciate messages like this. Keeps us straight. But also it sheds light on, okay, I mean, the Word is very clear. If I disobey Him, and I know I'm not tithing. I know I don't make church priority. I know I don't walk in love. Well, you just had you got your answer. Boom, the light has shined on you. To show you the problems. It's kind of like when I painted Abby's room in the dark. It was just a little bit of light. I thought it was awesome. Until the next morning when the natural light came through and I could see. I said, oh, I missed that spot. I missed that spot. What? The light brought the imperfections. The Word brings out light. What areas do you know? I'll tithe every once in a while, but the 6 weeks that I'll miss, I won't make up for that. Disobedience. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I'll stop. I better just stop. Praise the Lord. John chapter 2. I just want to see people helped. I just want to see people helped. John chapter 2 and verse 1 says, in the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what do you have to do with me? Why are you bringing this to me? My hour has not yet come. Basically, Jesus is like, I'm at a wedding. Leave me alone. Why are you coming to me? See, she sensed something. Mary sensed, oh, there's something special on my boy. Something's about to give way with my son. And this was obviously the first miracle that he did. He said, my hour has not yet come. And we know that the end of the story, that it did come at that point, and it was close. So Mary was picking something up. And so she thought, hey, there's a problem. Bring it to him. He says, what do I have to do with you? And his mother said unto the servants, because this gives me chill about being sensitive to God. His mother said unto the servants, now remember, Jesus just got done saying, don't bother me with this. What do I have to do with you? My hour's not yet come, but Mary knew something was up. And she looked at the servants and she said, whatever he says to you, just do it. Don't question it. What about this? What about that? That doesn't make sense. It would seem hard. Stop. Whatever Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, says, do it. Church, whatever God says to you, through the preaching of your pastor when he preaches the Word, through the meditation of the Word on your own, through the up from the Holy Ghost out of your heart, and he tells you to do something, whatsoever he tells you to do, it's in your best interest, just do it. Don't argue with it. Don't question. Well, my checkbook won't allow this. Well, my time this. Well, this doesn't seem right. Well, this person that you totally talk to, they're this way. Don't question it. If God says be in church, be in church. If God says tithe, tithe. If God says walk in love, walk in love. If God says go talk to so-and-so, go talk to so-and-so. Just do it. I mean, it's like thinking, oh, God, you're just not smart anymore. Whatever you must be telling us, I guess we'll just do it our own way. Why? I don't understand that. When did it become optional? to obey Him. He says, whatever He says to you, you do it. And there were set 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Now, we don't have time to go into this, but this was the most inconvenient thing these guys would have to do this day. Because it wasn't about taking a little jar. We're talking about enough to have beverages for the whole wedding. They didn't just go over to the faucet and turn it on. No, they'd have to go down to the well. They'd have to carry these heavy pots. It was not the most convenient thing in the world to do, just so you know. Like I said, doing the word at times is not the most convenient thing. Verse 7, Jesus said, fill the water pots with water. Well, that in and of itself is a chore. And bring the, and they filled them to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out of now and bear unto the governor of the feast. So they brought, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not where it was, but the servants which drew the water, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. He says, and every man in the beginning does set forth good wine, and when the men have well drunk, that is when they bring the worst. But you've kept the good wine till now. Of course, when Jesus is involved, it's the best. Amen. Of course. But notice when he told the servants, go get me some water, they didn't question it. They didn't say, we don't need water, Jesus, we need wine.
Right.
Sir, do you know that we have to walk all the way down to the well, we have to carry these... Pastor Webb did firkins, and he talked about the weight of these things. And I'll bring it out sometime when we have more time. It was the most inconvenient thing Jesus could have said to these guys that day. It wasn't like, oh, he said, go get a glass of water, okay. No. Walking down, drawing the water out of the well, carrying this thing back. And then... not even to mention, they don't need water. That's not what they're looking for. But do it. Whatever he says to do, do it. That's why when he says to you people, give this amount of money to this person or to the church or to whatever, tithe, walk in love, forgive that person regardless of what they've done to you. Go talk to this person. It might not be convenient. It might not make sense to your checkbook, to your mind, to your natural circumstances, but he knows best. We could go through the word and point out all the times it was inconvenient. When God told Abraham, leave your home. Well, that's real convenient. Thank you, Lord. But he did it and he was blessed.
Yeah.
Take your son up on a mountain and kill him. Well, that sure seems convenient and makes a lot of sense. But he did it and he was blessed. Right?
Yeah.
Anybody got some Nikes on? Put a swoosh right on your Bible, right? Just do it. Just do it. You got to obey the word of God to get the blessings of God. You got to do it God's way. You might say, that's a big book. I don't know everything. That's why we progress every Sunday. We get something new to work on for that week. Amen? It's not about getting it all in one sitting. God knows. He's patient. He's merciful. But it's about growing. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the word this morning. Oh, we endeavor to obey you more. Father, we want to be so sold out to you that we will obey no matter what. Oh, Father, we love you so much. Thank you for the word. Lord, when we understand that you're loving and kind and merciful, when you tell us to do things in the word like tithe, walk in love, go to church, do this, do that, witness to people, when you tell us things in our heart to obey you and they don't seem normal and they don't seem like they make sense and it seems like it maybe is taking a step back or it's inconvenient, because we know you love us, we can be assured that you're never, ever trying to lead us into harm, never trying to lead us into lack, never trying to lead us into stress in a harder situation. You always have a blessing, but the blessing is always found through the door of obedience. So, Father, I pray that as the word was shine, the light of the word was shine in this place, and it shone bright in their heart, and it exposed areas where maybe they've missed it, where maybe they're just not doing the word, and blessings are being withheld. Father, I pray that we would adjust in those areas, that we would come to a place of trusting you and just say, oh, I want to get all that I can from God. Father, we bless you, we magnify you, we glorify you, we love you this morning. If I could have heads bowed and eyes closed, I pretty much know we're all born again in here, but we do have archives and we do have live stream. If you're listening to my voice, however you are, ask yourself, if today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? If the answer isn't 100% yes, you need Jesus. And it's simple. It doesn't cost you money. It doesn't cost you anything but just believing in Him to receive Him. The Bible says if you call the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. So real quick, is there anybody in here that you can say, well, Pastor, you thought we were all born again, but I don't know if I really am. Don't let another day go by. Is there anybody that wants to receive Jesus? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody, would you just lift your hand in the air real quick? You can put it down after. There's no hands in here, but if you're listening by live stream or archives, or if you're too shy to do it here, the Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, that just looks like this. All you simply do is say, Father, I believe in Jesus. I believe He died and rose again for me. Please have Him come into my heart. And He will. He'll take up residency and He'll become a father unto you and He'll start to bless you and teach you. Just let us know. Send us an email. Give us a phone call. We'll get you hooked up in a good place. Let's go ahead right now and thank the Lord and just praise Him. You know what we should do? We should thank Him for His Word. His Word's not meant to hurt you. In fact, His Word is like a GPS to take you to all the blessings. Yeah, that's good, Father. You can open your eyes. You know on a GPS, that lady on the GPS? You know I'm talking about that lady on the GPS that tells you to do things? She'll say, turn right. What's that? Is that a cell phone? Oh, well, whatever it was. Praise the Lord. It's the alarm telling me to shut it. It's time to stop. But think about GPS. That lady tells you what to do. Now, when she says, okay, up here about 500 feet, whatever she says, take a right. You say, how dare you tell me what to do? How boss me around? Well, if you'll do it, it'll take you to your destination. When the Word tells you to do something, why fight with it and argue with it? It's trying to take you to your destination. That is good. The Holy Ghost is wonderful. Awesome. Well, have an awesome rest of the week. We'll see you Wednesday night at 6:30. You're dismissed.